I'll tell you one group any barrier at the border won't stop. Millions of monarch butterflies crossing back and forth between the U.S. and Mexico each year. A much more serious challenge for these frequent flyers, a vanishing habitat. The monarchs depend on dense patches of evergreen forests in central Mexico to get through the winter. For several years now, those forests were getting decimated by logging and farming. Things have improved in recent years as the forests were protected and, in some cases, replanted. My BBC colleague Saskia Edwards went to meet one man in the Mexican state of Michoacán who did more than his share to help. His name is José Luis Álvarez.
My father lived in a small town which is called Colonia Juárez. In this beautiful valley, and above the valley is the forest, and there's a stream that goes through there. And I learned to hunt and swim and dive, and I fell in love with nature. I never thought it could be so damaged, you know. These mountainsides that they're at 8, 9, 10,000 feet that have these slopes, these tremendous slopes, and they're all just stripped bare of the forest, and they've made all these little tiny lots where they're trying to plant oats and corn. It looked like it had cancer, the forest. There was nothing left. I was anguished. Monarch to overwinter, it needs a very dense forest. Okay, to protect itself from the rain, from the sleet, and sometimes it even snows. Okay, so the more trees they are, the more protected they are. The thinner it is, the easier it is when the weather changes for them to freeze to death. I'm going to show you some photographs where I'm knee-deep in butterflies.
Dead butterflies?
Yes.
So we're looking at this picture, and
those are butterflies.
So on the floor, it looks like you're knee-deep in, like, a foliage, like at autumn, that people have raked into a pile, but it's dead butterflies.
That's right. That was in 2002.
José Luis's idea was that he had to convince the locals to turn their farms into forest. He could grow the trees, but he knew the locals wouldn't pay for them.
So I decided I would start a nonprofit. I didn't know how to start a nonprofit.
If you can't tell already, José Luis has a way with words and can be very convincing. So that's how he convinced a guy from the US he met at breakfast one day to start an NGO for him. Then connections got him a spread in the New York Times.
And zap, I get two big donations. Just immediately. And that started it off. I convinced three people that had small lots to let me transform them into forests. It was difficult in the beginning because it had never been done on small plots.
There was more convincing to do. José Luis started going door to door, or farm to farm, asking locals if they would plant the trees he'd give them.
I planted three plots the first year. Second year I planted maybe 10 or 12. The next year, 40 or 50, and then I started going into the hundreds. And what happened is the neighbors who had just pieces of land, it was just dust and rocks, okay? They saw these trees flourish, and they said, I want to do the same thing.
Another convincing factor was the wood from the forests he was regenerating further away from the butterflies could be used sustainably for locals to make money, build furniture, and burn to heat their houses. It was so convincing.
I've had a lot of illegal loggers that now have commercial plantations on their land.
So how many trees has he planted?
In one particular year, I'll have funding to give away 1 million trees. Another year, I'll have funding for 700,000 trees. Another year, maybe 300,000 trees. But when you add up 23 years, it's millions. I don't know, like 7, 8 million, I don't know, around there.
José Luis effectively helped plant an entire forest.
Saskia Edwards there with our partners at the BBC's Outlook program, telling us about José Luis Álvarez, who runs a tree nursery in the Mexican state of Michoacán and making life great for butterflies.